The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Makes me think. I'm speaking to men directly. Part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of man and woman is present.
We have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running. Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers.
So they sent Obama to come get us and bring us back to the Democratic plantation. He like, they sent Obama back to come get us. He insulted us. He said, I was highly offended when he said the only reason we voting for Donald Trump is because we don't want a woman in president, so we come up with... Shut up!
I was a delegate for President Obama in both of his elections in Ohio, too. Why are black men being lectured to? Why are black men being belittled in ways that no other voting group? But for him to single out black men is wrong. And some of the black men that I have talked to have their reasons why they want to vote a different way. But this is wrong for President Obama. It is a wrong course for the Harris-Waltz campaign to lay at the feet of black men when they have their reasons.
Why is it okay for Barack Obama, Kamala Harris, and all these other people that supposedly look like me? Why is it okay for them to get on TV and shame me for not voting for them simply because they look like me? That shit is racist, brother.
President Obama, what you said is not acceptable. What you said is not acceptable. Not to me, not to a host of black men out there who's not even thinking about voting for Donald Trump. What you said is unacceptable. You're basically accusing black men who come up with a reason to not support Kamala Harris as engaging in misogyny. Whatever happened to disagreeing without being disagreeable, President Obama? Love me some Barack Obama. Always have, always will. Just very disappointed that you would say that.
Barack Hussein Obama. The audacity of you to say to us that we are required and we better vote for Kamala Harris and that we don't want to see a woman in a position of power. You're a liar.
One thing we've seen about Democrats over the years is that when they can't convince you to do something, they begin to insult you. Obama specifically, when he was having trouble with rural voters in Pennsylvania, go back all the way into his campaigns. He insulted them about their culture and values. I don't think it's helpful to insult a group of people who are already not enthusiastic about your campaign, but I think that's what he did.
This message is for President Obama. First and foremost, you're not gonna tell me what I'm gonna do and what I'm not gonna do. Number one, I ain't gonna vote for Kamala Harris. Secondly, I think that it's really sad that you would come out against black men and actually degrade them because they're not picking the person that you want them to vote for.
I felt that it was incredibly disrespectful because he's making the assumption that we're not educated enough to lead our families, to look at the policies, to understand exactly what's going on with immigration, and we're supposed to overlook everything that they did over the last 3.5 years that was not in our favor. And when I say our, I'm talking about the American people, let alone men, let alone black men, and we're supposed to vote for her because of some misogynistic reason that's made up. And now they've sent their messiah back to rein us in and bring us back into the Democratic plantation. And most men that I've spoken with have said that it's absolutely disrespectful and we're done with Obama.
Americans 25 days before the election. And I got to say, it's not looking that great for the Democrats. I mean, this is not a good sign, you know, when you have an African-American candidate. You probably shouldn't be having to shore up your support among black men, but that's what's going on. No, Obama even came out yesterday to scold. I mean, he was scolding. Well, I don't know. He, like the last week, month of the convention, he was no scolding. Now he's scolding.
You all brought up Barack Obama to try to get us black men back to the demonic Democratic Party. Behalf of all the men who are educated, who have learned their lesson, and was burned by the Democratic Party, we want nothing to do with the Democratic Party. We stand with Donald J. Trump.
They do think they have a problem if they're going to mobilize Barack Obama to do that.
I also don't think it's necessarily advisable for Democrats and advocates and surrogates to basically imply if you don't vote for Harris and you're a man, it must be because you're a sexist. I mean, I never feel like it's good political practice to basically say you've got to do what I say or else you're really a bad person.
Does the campaign agree with what former President Obama suggested, that black men may be reluctant to vote for Harris because she's a woman? He thinks that's part of the struggle. He definitely talked about strong choice, but
person,
very clearly he was suggesting, Michael, that he said, I have the soundbite right here. He says, part of it makes me think that, well, you aren't feeling the idea of having a woman as president, so you're thinking about sitting out or even supporting somebody who has a history of denigrating you because you think a sign of strength, because that's what being a man is, putting women down, that's not acceptable. It's very clear that he's suggesting that sexism is at play for why some black men, he's concerned, aren't going to turn out.
Things have gotten so bad that they had to dust off Barack Obama and he had to go give a private tongue lashing to black men about how they're mistreating Kamala Harris.
You say you were personally, after watching them, offended by Obama's comments?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, Obama's not as talented of a liar as he used to be. But quite frankly, my ancestors fought way too hard for me to have the ability to learn how to read, just for Obama to expect me to be so uneducated to think that I would vote for Kamala Harris simply because she claims to be a black woman. And I mean, if people want to stop having Kamala Harris be called a DEI hire, maybe he should stop trying to remind us of her demographic every 5 minutes. Black men not supporting Kamala has nothing to do with her being a woman. It has everything to do with her lack of accomplishments over the last 1,359 days.
Wow, that's brutal. That's a long cold open, 7 minutes worth. We could have made it longer. There's plenty of sound bites on social media laced with profanity, almost unusable. But people that are just fed up, people in the black community that are fed up, they are done. As you heard one of them say, they are done with Obama. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Get to the live video stream of this show on trumpetdaily.com or the Rumble channel. If you go to Rumble, make sure you give us the thumbs up. It's rumble.com/trumpetdaily. I think the playing on Live from America, LFA TV on Rumble, got something like 87,000 views last night, the show from yesterday, that is. So I haven't mentioned LFA in a while, but we're hoping, by the way, just as a programming note, we're hoping to create an LFA-only program down the road here. We've got our festival break coming up tomorrow. But after we get back, hopefully we can record a special presentation just for the LFA audience and try to make them maybe more aware of our websites, our literature. I mean, I do that fairly often on this show. But I need to do it more because there's a lot of people out there that need to receive tomorrow's news today. Today, you get the prophetic insights of God when you're following God's work. My father's, it's in America Under Attack. I'll give you the, maybe just I'll jump ahead to it right now. America Under Attack's been around for how long? 11 years. 11 years, I forget which, updated version
My father inserted this material, but this is, again, taking you back to Amos chapter 7. He's writing this several years ago. And he says here, what happened to the political Antiochus? He gets to the middle part of Amos 7, and then that Antiochus disappears, and then we're introduced to Amaziah, who fights against God's work. It says, there is a definite shift here that suggests a major change in America. We're entering into a different era. The earlier verses prophesied of the Antiochus in the nation who's fighting to destroy Jeroboam. And then suddenly we have another Antiochus who's fighting to try to keep or help Jeroboam survive. Thus we see that Satan forsakes one of his Antiochus types and jumps to another. Now listen, it says from Amos 7 and verse 7 on, we see no hint of the political Antiochus, Barack Obama. And so, as my father said more recently, this was in the September issue of The Trumpet, he said that Obama's about to be silenced. In fact, he said, we're seeing it. We're witnessing it. And that September issue article, that was based on a sermon he gave back at the start of July, July 6th, right before the attempted assassination. I mean, they want to kill him. They want it. And if you go back to before July 6th, you have that soundbite we've played for you before, my father saying in early June that Trump's not going to be assassinated. Look at how God intervened. It's just like we say on The Trumpet, this September issue. Why is God protecting this man? Why is God keeping him alive? And right as we're seeing all of those miracles, we're also seeing people in the black community, which you could not have imagined even just a couple years ago, saying, I'm done with Obama. What Obama's saying is racist. You heard it on the cold open. These are some pretty amazing times that we're living through. This same issue, by the way, my father talks about the Supreme Court's involvement to protect Donald Trump. I mean, you're hearing a lot of news out of New York where it looks like the appeals court may throw that case out the window where they tried to bankrupt Donald Trump over nothing. Nothing. The judge is saying, I think it's the valuation put on his properties. I get them confused. I can't keep track of all of them. But it's obviously not getting much play in the regime media because it's something that could help Donald Trump. Well, as my father has said, he's going to get some help from the Supreme Court. He already has been getting some help. So if you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, make sure you call our operators today and request it's free, there's no cost or obligation, a free one-year subscription. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. Listen to Kamala yesterday. She corrected an interviewer over how she or he referred to the dear leader. This is clip 3.
You have a friend. His name is Barack Hussein Obama. You know him?
I do know him. I do.
He recently, in Pittsburgh.
President.
Barack. President, let's get it right.
Yes.
Yeah, Obama. President. President Barack Obama.
Oh, wow. President Barack Obama. See, she still plays according to the old rules, the swooning rules. Yeah, you're to swoon before Barack Obama. She's Obama's latest puppet. And so there she is, correcting this African-American man, by the way. Listen, it's not Barack Hussein Obama. It's President Obama, thank you. Well, for a lot of people in the black community, they're done with Barack Hussein Obama. You heard it there in the cold open. As I said, we could have made it 5-10 minutes longer. It's astounding. Really, even since Thursday. I know we got into this on Friday's program last week. Obama speaks in Pittsburgh. And then on Friday, we discussed it. We said, hey, it's falling flat. It's not working. And then with just 25 days to go before the election, as of last Friday, now it's 3 weeks from today, 21 days. And yeah, I've seen a few tweets from Barack Hussein Obama, but where's he been? With 25 days left, you think if he's coming to the rescue, You think he'd be out there stumping every day. As it is, I think he's kind of gone silent. He's not used to a tongue lashing like this from his own community. He's not used to it. He's used to being worshipped. What happened? Well, Bible prophecy gives us some important insights, and my father's expounded on them over the years, which is why you need America Under Attack and why you need to subscribe to the Trumpet magazine so that you can receive those prophetic insights from God. This is from Revolver. Barry's lost his mojo. He's lost it. It says here, there was a time when Barack Obama hitting the campaign trail would send shockwaves through the political world. Republicans would brace themselves because Obama could ignite a movement with just a few words. Just a few words. And they would swoon. I was at one of the rallies in 2008. I'll never forget it. It was an electric atmosphere. All he had to do was say a few words. I mean, he had everybody in the palm of his hand. There was a spirit at work. And there's a spirit still working through that man. Not a good one. But God is exposing him. God is exposing the demonic movement that's been attacking the United States of America. God is silencing him. It's not like it used to be. It says, anymore, Barry has lost his mojo. The man who was once revered as a strong, charismatic leader is now a shell of his former self. Remember 2016 when he campaigned for Hillary? He was still commanding arenas full of voters. Sure, Hillary lost, but to be fair to Barry, she might be even worse than he is, so he didn't have much to work with. Plus, they hadn't perfected mail-in ballots yet. That's how they won last time, 2020. Everybody was huddling in the basement, including the Democratic candidate, as Obama was pushing all the buttons. He had a lot of power. He was backed by a lot of power from 2009 through to 2020 even. But what happened? It says here, boy, nobody could lie like old silver tongue Obama. He could spin a tale like no other, but now his past words are coming back to haunt him. He was the best, the silver-tongued liar. There's a lot of them who are attacking America, that just lie. News came out just this week that Kamala Harris plagiarized her book on law enforcement. I forget when it came out, a few years ago. Somebody checked, I think she co-authored it with someone, and they plagiarized certain sections from Wikipedia. Wikipedia! So they're not only plagiarists, they're lazy plagiarists. And she's running for president. The lies, the deception. It's perfect in a lot of ways. Because we've, on this show, we've exposed so many of the lies. And so it's perfect. Here she, her life has been a lie. And it's the same with Barack Obama. He came in as the unifier. He was going to heal all the racial wounds. He was going to lead us to prosperity, utopia even. He was going to solve climate change. And now people, they go back and they look at his words, and the words are coming back to haunt him. People are seeing what kind of a massive fraud all of this is. It says here, as our country's overrun with dangerous, violent illegals, the left's new voting bloc, it's clear that Obama's smooth talk was nothing more than well-crafted deceit. But he sure was slick about it back in the day. He was a smooth talker. You know, what this article is saying is that he was an angel of light. And like I said on last Friday's show, I mean, you're even from conservative voices. I played that clip from Peter Navarro last week. I mean, those are things you just would not hear. Even a few years ago, you can't speak about the dear leader like that. But what happened? What has changed? Well, America's under attack. And God's about to intervene to save America one last time, as Amos 7 brings out, giving us one last opportunity to turn to him in repentance. It says, nowadays, it seems like Obama's failed policies and empty promises have caught up with him, and people see right through the facade. He doesn't command the respect or admiration he once did. As I say, he was in Pittsburgh just last Thursday. Here's one clip from last Thursday's speech, clip 12.
When did that become okay? Why would we go along with that? I mean, if your coworkers acted like that, they wouldn't be your coworkers very long. If you're in business and somebody you're doing business with just outright lies and manipulates, you stop doing business with them. Even if you had a family member who acted like that, you might still love them, but you tell them you got a problem and you wouldn't put them in charge of anything. And yet when Donald Trump lies or cheats or shows utter disregard for our Constitution, when he calls POWs losers or fellow citizens vermin, people make excuses for it. They think it's okay. They think, well, at least he's owning the libs. He's really sticking it to them. It's okay as long as our side wins. And by the way, I'm sorry, gentlemen. I've noticed this especially with some men who seem to think Trump's behavior, the bullying and the putting people down, is a sign of strength.
It's not working. It's just not working. There he is again, lecturing the country, making sure they understand that Trump's the liar, and lecturing men, how dare you like Donald Trump? And it's just falling flat this time around. Revolver says that he looks more like an effeminate, nervous wreck, getting grayer by the day as he watches his power slip away. That's what you saw right there. It's a man who's very nervous. He's nervous about being exposed. Being exposed further. And he senses that his power is slipping away. He's had the three terms in office. One is the shadow president working from the basement, and he desperately wants another. But they decided on the worst possible candidate, who then picked the worst possible VP candidate. Obama hit the campaign trail for Kamala, and the tone was nothing short of desperate. You know things are bad when Obama's out there shaming black men for not supporting an Indian Jamaican woman with no successful policies or plans for president. She's out there. What does she have left? Trump won't debate. Trump won't give us his cholesterol numbers. That's it. That's all you've got? Trump sent out a tweet the other day saying, look, she says she's not going to change anything from the current president, from Biden. She's going to be Biden 2.0. What's there to debate? You see his record and you've seen mine. Leave it to the American people. The champions of democracy, they've revealed themselves. They've exposed themselves. Why isn't Obama just saying, hey, put it to the vote? Vote based upon this record. Instead, he goes in and tries to shame the black community, the black men. And as you heard at the top, they don't like it. They don't like being lectured to, especially in a way that suggests they're dumb. And so they're done with Barack Obama. It says here, what happened to Barry's mojo? Maybe he lost it when he decided to install a dementia patient in the Oval Office. Was that the final nail in his coffin? Because as it stands now, Obama is out of ammunition. He has nothing left to help Kamala. He knows it. You can see the fear in his eyes. He's scared, and for good reason. He knows he's out of ammo. You can see the fear in his eyes. I played the montage for you on Friday, where it was just Trump, 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 Trump. He's now a victim of Trump derangement syndrome. He's got a bad case of it. The man who was once a political force of nature is now scrambling to stay relevant. Meanwhile, fewer and fewer people are buying into his divisive political double talk. Now, again, we were there. We were writing in 2008 when he was first campaigning and taking the country by storm, that he was out there spewing divisive political double talk. We were sounding the alarm about Jeremiah Wright and all the other shady associations of this man, terrorists even, Israel haters, Jew haters. And then we learn after his second term that he's pretty tight with Louis Farrakhan as well. So here comes the dear leader strutting into Pittsburgh, thinking he still has the audience in the palm of his hand, and it didn't work. It's not working. It's not working for the dear leader. Obama has gone from a cool, swaggy, hip leader to a tired, desperate political has-been. He used to command attention and inspire hope for some, but now he's clinging to relevance, resorting to outdated and laughable tactics to drum up support for an equally uninspiring and inexperienced failed candidate. They've been exposed. And it's important that you know God has done this. God is exposing them. God is silencing him. God is giving us one last chance to turn to him in repentance. I mean, the exposure, it's not getting rid of the sin. It is exposing a lot of criminality. And as you saw in the cold open, I mean, there is something to be said for people waking up because they need the truth. They need the truth, but it's important to note also that receiving the truth, having your eyes open to the truth, that's just the starting point. I mean, from God's perspective, he wants for us to respond to the truth, to do something with the truth, to change our lives, to change our behavior. It's painfully clear, it says, that Obama's time is over, and no amount of guilt-tripping or shaming is going to bring back his former glory. His time is over. People are done voting just to keep Barry's power intact. They're ready to vote for themselves, for their own power, and their own future. And that means one thing, voting for President Trump and his America First agenda. This is a remarkable change. And it hasn't happened just with the snap of a finger. We've seen it, like my father said in that July 6th message. We were seeing it over the summer. We saw it earlier this year. But now, I mean, look at how embarrassing this must be for him. That speech in Pittsburgh, and then the lecture that he gave to those young black men that someone got on tape. And then people see the tape, they see the lecture, and they're furious. They're done with Obama. Pretty remarkable. I'll refer you to this magazine now. I gave you the America Under Attack quote earlier, but this is the September issue. So this was written a couple months ago. It says, when you understand who the modern fulfillment of Jeroboam is, the fact that the first part of this chapter, speaking of Amos 7, is discussing Barack Obama is clear. It's talking about bitter affliction. To put it in the terms of 2 Kings 14, it's described there, the first six verses of Amos 7. And again, I've got to leave it to you to order America Under Attack, and you get the full rundown on those verses in Amos. This article from September does a pretty good job as well. It says, but it is conspicuous that this man is never mentioned directly in the prophecy, though that is exactly who it is talking about. Why the omission? My father says, I have come to realize that the reason God does not mention this modern day type of Antiochus in this passage is that he is beginning to silence this man. Barack Obama's power is diminishing before our eyes. This is straight out of my father's sermon from July 6, 3 months ago. More than 3 months ago. It says the devil was using this man to do terrible things to the United States of America and even to a number of other nations that have descended from ancient Israel. Mr. Obama has had control of Hollywood, academia, media, technocrats, and powerful corporations. I mean, even going back less than 4 years ago, they stirred up a fake insurrection, and the Obamas got on the phone and told social media, "You silence Trump." And they did. Now who's being silenced? And it's God's doing. This is electrifying prophecy being fulfilled. It says here, from Amos 7:7 on, we see no hint of the political Antiochus, Barack Obama. Will God remove him when Jeroboam wars? Will that be the end of the political Antiochus's real power? It says God doesn't say definitely, but I believe Amos 7 strongly indicates it. There are certain to be some big changes. That's what we're seeing. Big changes. Monumental changes. Who could have ever imagined an article like I just read to you from Revolver? He's wielded so much power over the years. As AUA starts out, people swoon, the regime media swoon before Obama. Now you've got roundtables on CNN saying, "I didn't like what he said. He shouldn't lecture the black community. He shouldn't lecture black men. Who does he think he is?" That's a remarkable shift in the tone, for sure. It says God's church battled a spiritual Antiochus who took power and used it to almost blot out the church. Now we've been battling the political Antiochus as he attacks America. Then, suddenly, we have to battle the spiritual Antiochus in God's church again. It says, finally, amid all these terrible events, there's a church with a powerful message exposing everything, and in such a way that people cannot bear it. That's the way it's been with the prophets of old. That's the way it was with John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Christ. That's the way it was for Jesus Christ, coming with a message of truth. You see how the world responds to it. John 3 says Jesus came as a light to this world. But men, human nature, snuffed it out because we love darkness. We love groping in the dark. Our human heart, our mind, human nature, Satan's nature, as he broadcasts Ephesians 2 and verse 2. You've got to go look at these verses for yourself. Revelation 12, 9. The whole world is deceived, and we don't want God involved in our lives. We don't want God involved in our national affairs. We don't want God's government ruling over nations. We don't want salvation. We want to live in sin, and I could give you a long sermon on that, maybe some other time. All the verses that expose the heart of man is desperately wicked. It's sick. It's deranged. Jeremiah 17, read it. It's hostile to God and His law. We're willing to do, say, anything other than obey the laws of God. As I've said so often in class over the years, if there's a direct statement of thou shalt in the Bible, you can be sure that man's position is going to be, well, I'm not doing that. And then if there's one that says don't do this, you can be sure human beings, as hard-hearted and stubborn and hostile to God's law as they are, will say, well, I'm going to do it then. A change. You talk about the change we're seeing right now with just God exposing. Wait until the monumental, transformative change that's coming upon this earth when Jesus Christ returns to Jerusalem as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we come back, we've got quite a lot more news to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
That he's holding a rally in Madison Square Garden that, I'm sorry, is a mimic of a rally held on February 20th, 1939 by the American Nazi Party. And we've got to quit being timid about making these connections that he is going out of his way to make.
You're seeing Donald Trump be increasingly disinhibited. He's always been kind of out there a little bit rough, but increasingly he is talking about using violence against Americans in pursuit of his agenda and defense of his agenda. Instead, he says he wants to hurt Americans. This is troubling. This is not, I think Harris would be wrong if she didn't point out that for the first time we have a candidate running for office who seems to be more interested in using America's military against Americans than against foreign threats.
That's not the only thing, Abby. Donald Trump ripped babies from the arms of their mothers. Because of Donald Trump, there is a generation of orphans in this country. And he has said that he would do that again.
Where, if you're going to rank your worry, where is it on a scale?
I mean, it could be higher. It could be higher. Donald Trump is a threat to all that we hold dear. So look at what he did at Lafayette Square. We're literally virtually gassed on citizens, our fellow citizens. He time and again tried to push the limits in a truly fascist manner. What is it, just 20 or so days left to stand up to truly what is a living fascist?
Lots of hot new takes there. Trump's a fascist. Trump's leading Nazi rallies. Trump gassed his own people. And yeah, Trump. I mean, he came in, he's ripped babies away from mommies. Trump is responsible for a whole generation of orphans. This is from Breitbart. It says, youth sex trafficking and its myriad cruelties tripled under President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, according to a report from thefreepress.com. Tripled! Child sex trafficking. You think that woman that's there talking about Trump ripping babies from mothers, you think she cares about any of these statistics? This is coming under Joe Obama's reign. Quotes the Free Press here. It says, sex trafficking victims often suffer horrific abuse, as I discovered when I spoke to Landon Dickinson, the 36-year-old executive director for Bob's House of Hope in Denton, Texas, the only shelter for male sex trafficking victims ages 18 and up in the country. Dickerson said they've seen teens from Central and South America who've been so tortured by their traffickers that they can barely function. This has tripled under the reign of Joe Obama. And it's all by design. It's all part of the plan. It's intentional. And yet the commentators, if they talk about immigration at all, it's you've got to go backwards several years to Trump ripping babies out of mommy's hands or cages that they put the babies in. They just make it up. Meanwhile, I mean, this is a national tragedy, international. These are young children from Central South America, from who knows where, being trafficked for sex. And it's just tripled, that's all. Meanwhile, the Trump derangement, it continues. It's every day. It's nonstop. And there's actual assassins, would-be assassins, trying to murder Donald Trump because of all of this crazed, deranged rhetoric spearheaded by the dear leader. He's seeing his power slip, as I said in the first segment, but he's filled with wrath. He's filled with hatred. He wants to murder Donald Trump. Dickerson described caring for teens who have brain damage from being so heavily drugged, teens who have had their fingernails pulled out and lemon juice poured on wounds. When I asked to interview one of their migrant residents, Dickerson said they simply weren't in any condition to speak to anyone, much less a reporter. We think the cartels and gangs use torture as a control method for the males. Torture them, drug them, and then sell them. How is this kind of evil going to be removed? Why is this kind of evil barely even discussed? Why isn't it talked about on the evening news? I mean, you just heard this woman that was from yesterday just casually references Donald Trump being responsible for a whole generation of orphans. What about this? Does she care? It says here, they're not going to fight back if they chain their victims to a radiator, beat them up frequently, or drug them. Then Breitbart responds to this article from Free Press, saying the abuse and prostitution may be forced on young migrants who are indebted to smugglers and their affiliated trafficking gangs in the United States. If they cannot pay their debts, their families can lose farms and homes to the banks that hold the loans. This is another world, is it? What a dark world this is. And it's just pouring into the United States of America. I talked about the filth that's being exposed right at this time, right at this transition stage we're in here in the United States with Sean Combs and Epstein and these so-called files, client lists, videotapes. It's connected to this. Child sex trafficking. The rising number of youth sex trafficking cases were posted at the Department of Health and Human Services when the Free Press demanded the data under the Freedom of Information Act. You've got to go make a FOIA request to just get the government to give you the statistics. If there's no FOIA request, the government will conceal this because it exposes them. That's why. It says here, the agency is responsible for checking and issuing certification and eligibility letters to the children and youths who first request aid after escaping sex traffickers. The agency issued 1,143 letters in 2021, 2,226 letters in 2022, and 2,000 148 letters in 2024 so far. This is all under Alejandro Mayorkas' watch. He believes the border's just fine. I played the clip for you yesterday. No, they're not trying to recruit voters, or there's no mention of the sex trafficking or the drug trafficking. Everything's good. It's better than it was under Trump. Trump raised a whole generation of orphans. The regime media, they're as much a part of this problem as anyone else who's actually doing the trading of these children for sex. Under President Donald Trump, the number of letters averaged 562 per year. Letters to these children that escape sex trafficking, 560 during the Trump years. Now it's 2,000. We're pushing toward 3,000 this year, this calendar year. I mean, this is some truly sickening, vile filth. How does this get cleaned up? How does this get fixed? This world, this nation needs new government. You look at all that goes into government in the United States, massive, sprawling institutions, agencies all over the place, bureaucrats, tens of thousands of them working in just one agency, like the FBI, let's say. Working all over the country. The biggest corporation in the land, so to speak. The federal government. And it just gets bigger every year. And campaigning for president pretty much starts the moment someone is inaugurated. It's like a 3.5 year process. A 3.5 year ordeal. Kamala Harris, I mean, she was installed, 80 days ago? She had access to $1 billion in campaign funding. I mean, a lot of that transferred from Biden over. $1 billion. And what are they fixing? Can they stop this kind of crime? This kind of crime is getting worse. Drug addiction's getting worse. The whole head, body, everything, toes, it's sick. That's Isaiah 3. Well, Isaiah 1. Isaiah 3 talks about God just taking away so many of the blessings, one of them being quality leadership. I mean, he's intervening. God is intervening to stop the communist takeover of the United States. He's intervening because of the bitter affliction. He is bringing Donald Trump back. Prophecy says so. But it's important that we step away from this and look at the bigger picture. Some of this will be made better with a secure border, just stopping the trafficking that's going on, making it so they can't get across the border so easy. Right now, the door's wide open. Just invite them in. All of these cartels and people taking out loans to send their family, and then they're basically kidnapped, drugged, tied to radiators, beaten. And then the sex. The sex with where? Some adult? Some celebrity? Some politician? In some dark place somewhere? God's even exposing some of that, isn't he? God wants us to see our sins. He wants us to see the sickness. And he wants us to see and understand that he's the only one that can heal us. Jesus said in the Gospels, I think it's Matthew 9, that if you're sick, you need a, spiritually speaking, you need a physician. We heard about, I think I might have mentioned this yesterday, but we heard over the weekend about just all of the corruption and the sin and the filth in the food industry, the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, you think about all these agencies that have these wonderful health care. We just care about your health. And America gets sicker. It gets sicker by the day. How does this happen? Well, there's a lot of greedy, selfish, manipulative people churning out, processing food that they know is destroying Americans. But that's okay, because there's a drug to put a Band-Aid on it. There's a drug to put a short-term fix on it. And that generates a lot of income for the pharmaceutical big companies. It's all related. It's all connected. Everybody's just in it for themselves. So much greed. I mean, Paul said to Timothy that money is a root of so much evil. It's not the only one, but look at what people are now doing in the United States. The last best hope. That's the way one historian put it some years ago. The United States. What people will do for money and what people will do for power. And then look at what we're doing to political opposition. Yeah, recruit assassins. Take them out for the greater good. Well, I mean, Mark Milley says he's a fascist. That's the new October surprise. As if we haven't heard that one before. You heard it there in the TDS installment. But now Mark Milley is saying it. Well, that makes it very serious with lots of R's. Very, very serious. Mark Milley said Trump was a fascist. What does Mark Milley think about the child sex trafficking trade that's tripled during the O'Biden Kamala years? That's right. It's a sickness. It's a sickness, and we need God for healing. We need God. We need to turn to God. Every time I'm going through the Gospels, teaching a class this year on it, you just appreciate the truth of God, the simplicity, the power of Jesus Christ's words, the perfection of his example, the way that he confronted sin, the way that he confronted Pharisaical thinking, the way that he exposed Pharisaical thinking, the way that he exposed the human heart. He said, out from it flows murder, heresies, all of corruption. I'm paraphrasing very loosely. But that's what our Lord and Master said. Look, the heart is not good. And we need healing. And that's a tremendous miracle, converting the human heart into a godly heart. But Matthew 5:48 says, I mean, we're to become perfect like our Father in heaven. That's the goal. That's the objective. I was going to say, in going through the study, it just makes you appreciate the truth. We need the truth. The truth is what sets us free. But there's so many people working to to cover up the truth. We dealt with that face to face for 6 years of litigation, fighting for Mystery of the Ages, Herbert Armstrong's greatest ever book. We wrote all about that fight, that struggle in Raising the Ruins. We can give you all of these books for free, no cost, no obligation. But Satan hates the truth because the truth exposes him. God loves the truth. Jesus Christ loves the truth. And if you love the truth, you're going to have to hold on to it. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to do something with it. I mean, you read James 1 and you see that if you're just a hearer, in other words, if you hear even the truth, but you don't do anything with it, you're deceiving yourself. It's not enough to agree. We've got to be doers. We've got to respond to the truth. We've got to respond to God's call. God reaches out. God is pleading. And only a precious few are willing to turn their hearts to God. I mean, that too is prophesied. And I'll have to get into that message at a later time because I'm out of time. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.